welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Right. I've got a great message for you this morning. The Lord wants to share his heart. Hallelujah. I mean, it's following on still from what God's been saying to us, but it just took me to another place this morning. So you're feeling ready to be loved on by God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, God wants to love on you. So we've looked at taking captive every thought. Yeah, which leads to victorious living.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Okay, because we're taking hold of the negative stuff and even the positive stuff that's going out of control. We're making every thought obedient to Christ. Okay, we went through that a while ago. We looked at stop it, which was also involved in bringing down strongholds in our lives. Things that stop us living in the fullness of what God has for us. Why would we want to live in anything less than all that heaven has made available to you? What's the point? You know, what's the point of being a Christian if we live a kind of substandard or a subset of what God has for us? There's just no point, is there? We want the best that God's got for us. So that's what this little series that we've been going through is looking at. Last week, it's called Moving Forward, if you look it up on the internet. But it was about really having the keys of the kingdom and knowing, okay, we've got to take captive every thought. We're bringing down strongholds. How do we do that in practice? And we looked at the fact that the key that Jesus gave or said that Peter had was the revelation that he was the Son of the living God. And he showed him and demonstrated to him. We looked at some passages that to take hold of, to use those keys, is like speaking out the word of God. Which goes all the way back to Genesis when it says, in the beginning, God said. God didn't think about it. God didn't have some mega thoughts and creation came into being. It says that he spoke. There is power, incredible power in the spoken word. The world recognizes it. It calls it emotional abuse when people speak negatively to other people, whether adults or children, and they call it emotional abuse. And it can leave people disabled in their whole lives because of what's been spoken. Yeah. Words are so powerful. But you get words and you get the anointing of God and the power of the Holy Spirit behind them. And suddenly they can bring life in people's lives. And that's what we're about, yeah?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's kind of where we've been. So where are we going? Well, we're going to look at Revelation this morning, not the book of. The idea of revelation, getting something from God. And I'll give you some scriptures to look up, but here's one to get us going that you probably don't want to bother turning to. Hosea 4 verse 6 just says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, that's pretty strong. Destroyed. You know, it means to cut off, to perish, to be silenced, to cease, and not good. Okay, another way of putting this translation would be, my people are destroyed for the lack of truth. Ooh, interesting. The Hebrew word can mean truth as well. My people are destroyed. My people cease. My people are silenced for the lack of truth. So from that scripture, it's fairly easy to make an application, isn't it? I need to get truth in my life or I'm going to be silenced. Why aren't Christians turning the life of this town upside down? Because we've been silenced. Because we have ceased. Okay, and God wants to give us a fresh encouragement, fresh boldness, fresh oomph. Okay, because it's time wherever we live, you know, including Scarborough, for us just to be involved in people's lives and bringing the gospel into people's lives. You know, everything that we do just normal, there's opportunities that just come.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we were at one of our neighbors' houses last night, Kate and I, and when we got home, we just laughed because they wouldn't stop talking about God and church, would they? It just kept coming back. We changed the subject. Because, you know, you're getting to think, well, we've talked about God most of the night. You know, let's talk about some ordinary things as well. But no, we're back to God yet again. Hallelujah. People out there are hungry. People really are thirsty. They're just not hungry for what they thought God was. You know, they're interested if there's a genuine spirituality, a genuine interest, a genuine life somewhere. They're interested. Okay? And they might mock and come from a very strange angle. You think, oh, they're not. No, they're interested. There's something in it that's worrying them. There's something that's concerning them. You know, going back to last week and the be afraid, be very afraid. Yeah, be afraid. Hallelujah. We're here to bring good, love, peace, joy, happiness. In other words, God. Hallelujah. And if that's going to change your way of life, it doesn't sound too bad to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 29, verse 18, very similar. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, it says in the NIV. It's a bit dry in the NIV. We're going to resort back to the King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Yeah, it's a bit more life there. And not even a thee or a thou in it, eh? Where there is no vision, the people perish. The vision, the word revelation, it's all coming from the same root word. Where there is no prophetic understanding, no prophetic revelation, no grasping hold of God's word, the people are going to perish. They're going to go off the rails. They're going to get lost. They're not going to be the bold, courageous, adventurous church that God has called us to be. You know, when you get saved, it's the beginning of an adventure. It's the beginning of something good. You know, but if you get stuck in some kind of religious of rules and regulations and this and that and that, that doesn't bring life. That just brings despair. That brings a squashing down. And God is about blowing up in a nice sense, you know, making you bigger, making you huge in Him. Oh, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Or where there's no vision, the people perish. Without prophetic revelation, the people go unrestrained, walking in circles, having no certain destiny. That's another way of putting it. I like that one. That's a Bill Johnsonism, that one. They go walking in circles. There's no certain destiny. All right? You don't know where to go. And as a Christian, if we get our eyes off what the truth actually says, if we start dwelling on what the television says or books say or what our minds say, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, instead of following this straight path of glory, we can end up wandering around in circles like this all the time, coming back to the same thing again and again and again. And you think, why am I not going anywhere? Because you're not allowing the truth to come in and change. You're not making decisions to say, yes, I'm going with that. And some of these decisions are hard, and some of our emotions and minds scream against us to say, I don't want that. But it's like the surgeon's knife. You know, when he comes to cut the cancer out, if you were awake, if you weren't under anesthetic, it would hurt. In fact, the shock of it would probably kill you. But if he doesn't do it, the cancer's going to kill you. And it's like that with some of the things that are in our lives sometimes. It's that that God is there with his heavenly knife, and we're thinking, no! And he's saying, well, if I do this, it's going to be an awful lot better, because what you've got is causing you to walk around in circles. Come on, take captive every thought. Kill the old man, says the Bible. Put it to death. The sheep gate specialities sitting down here on the front row. You know, it's about being sacrificed on the altar. Not my way, but your way. Amen. Amen. I'm going to walk what you want me to do, Lord. Hallelujah. We're fed up, aren't we, with church that's just church. You know, just rules, regulations, and going somewhere on a Sunday. We want the experience of the glory of God and God doing stuff and miracles. Well, that's what God wants too, but even bigger. Amen. So this is all about accessing that. Hallelujah. Amen. But it just takes some people to say, yes, I'm going to go for that. I don't care what my neighbors think. I don't care what the world thinks. I'm just going to go for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell them how wonderful Jesus is, because that's the only way they're ever going to hear. Hallelujah. But the thing is, they're more ready than you think. Amen? Oh, yeah, they are. Vision, revelation is of things unseen. I will show you of things unseen, says the Lord. Without unfolding prophetic revelation that expands your capacity to sort of see life from God's perspective, you will perish. You've got to see it from God's perspective. And constantly, everything that's coming in at us, boom, 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 from the world and from everybody around us, it's the world's perspective. We don't want a world vision. We need a God vision. Amen. You know? Hallelujah. Without seeing your present circumstances through God's eyes, you will spiritually die. All right, you've got to see, what does God see? One of the things that Kate said a year ago or so when she preached, it's not asking, why is this happening to me? It's saying, what can I learn from this? What is God doing in my life? Where's the glory going to take me through this? These circumstances might be horrendous or good, but I'm going to see the glory of God happening. I don't need to know the why. Okay, sometimes it's just beyond our understanding, and we've got to accept that we just won't find out the full whyness. Amen. If we understand everything this side of heaven, we'd be God. And you're not. And if you don't think you are, or if you think you are, just ask the person next. Or if you're married, well, you know where I'm going with that one. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at a passage which is an absolutely awesome passage. I think a lot of you will have heard of this one, but it is awesome. And if we could get revelation on this, I tell you, we'd change the planet, not just Scarborough.
Hallelujah.
You know, Thwing would be rocked.
Woo! Come on!
For all the Thwingites sitting in the room. I wish there's quite a few of you. Proportionally to the population of Thwing, it's a huge percentage.
Right.
Hallelujah. If we get that percentage of Scarborough in here, we'll be rocking. We won't fit. Hallelujah. It's Psalm 139, okay, and it's David writing, and he gets this amazing revelation about who he is. And he's pre-Jesus. This is pre the knowledge of what it is to be in Christ. This is pre the knowledge that it's nothing to do with you, but that God takes you from this position here, wherever you've come from, and puts you in this place of holiness hidden in Christ. Amen? But this is before even that amazing revelation. David has got a sneaky insight to the secret, the mysteries that God is going to bring through Jesus and explain through people like the Apostle Paul. You know, so as he's praying away here, he's writing a song or whatever he's doing, you know, and he's thinking about God, and suddenly he starts to get this stuff, which is just incredible. Let me just read it to you first, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit and see what God's got for us out of it this morning. Because I want you to get revelation this morning. God wants you to have revelation. And I think it's going to come from this passage, and it's going to give you a boldness and a courage and a bit of a lift. You know, you go to church, don't you, to get a bit of a lift, to get lifted up into God's presence. Okay, here we go. Verse 13 I'm going to go from, not the whole lot. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I'm awake, I am still with you. Okay, now that's typical NIV English. All right? And the problem with the NIV is it tries to be very accurate, but sometimes it's a little bit clinical. You know? We lose some of the gloriousness of what David was trying to express in the Hebrew. So we've got to look at some of the Hebrew today. Is that all right?
Amen.
Okay, here we go then. Ooh, where should we go from? Hallelujah. For you created my innermost being. Do you know, this is hilarious because this is David again, right? That word that's used there for created means to get, acquire, purchase or redeem.
Oh, wow.
All right. What are you done in Jesus? You've been bought. Yes. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed at a price. You don't belong to anyone else but God. The price has been paid. No matter what anybody else says, if you say, yes, I believe in you, Jesus Christ, you can be my Lord. You are bought there and then. There's a stamp comes on your head, the seal of the Holy Spirit that says, this one belongs to Jesus. No matter what happens, this one belongs to me, says God. Okay? And here's David. You purchased me, my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. When did you get saved? That's a good question. Because looking at that, perhaps you got saved even before you were born. All right, because don't forget, God is outside time. He knows what's going to happen. He knows there's going to be this day that you make a decision to follow Jesus. And in heaven, there is a party and they're rejoicing. But there's a real reality that God knew that before you were born. He knew that when you were in your mother's womb. He knew that day was coming. He'd already been there.
Hallelujah.
And because God is outside time, the crucifixion isn't some 2,000 years in the past. The crucifixion is real today, paying the price for you today, as it was paying the price for you when you were in your mother's womb. That small fetus, that small child, from the moment you were conceived, God was saying, that one's one of mine. Well, when they're 22 or 23 or 6 or 92, that's when they're going to make a public confession and there's going to be a glory and they're going to get baptized and everything else. But that's one of mine. They're marked.
Yeah.
And so David's getting excited. He thinks, you bought me. You've paid for me. You've purchased me. You created me in my innermost being. Everything within me has been paid for. Everything is sorted. That's why if you've got something wrong in your body, in your innermost being, say you've got something wrong with your kidneys or your liver or your heart or whatever, it's paid for.
Amen.
It's God's. So it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be something that's wrong with it. That is an anomaly. That is something that's going against the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that's paid for your full salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Now remember, the word salvation comes from the Greek word sozo, which means complete, you know, fullness of life. Just body, mind, spirit, everything about you is getting restored in God.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Come on. Joanne's doing a good job down the front here. But yeah, that cheer all together, that was cool. We'll have a bit more of that. Hallelujah. You know, this is good.
Yes.
You've been bought.
Yes.
Every little bit of you has been purchased by God. So if something like cancer comes in and starts to steal it away from you, you say, I'm not having that.
Yes.
My liver, my prostate, my breast, whatever it is, belongs to God.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not having something steal away from me. My mind belongs to God. It's been bought. It's been purchased. God put it together in my mother's womb. He sorted every little tiny bit of me, and I belong to Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord, give me a bit of energy, because I shall run out at this rate. I've got to survive this afternoon yet. Hallelujah. this is brilliant.
Yes.
You know, that's just the first line. Hallelujah. I praise you. I praise you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I didn't look up what praise word that is there, actually. It'll be one of the Hebrew words for praise. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Fearfully. Now, that's an odd word. You are to be feared. You are to be feared. Who am I pointing at? Oh, Charlotte, you are to be feared. Hallelujah. You're kind of safe. Daniel, you are to be feared.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How about the back there? Carol.
Amen.
Everybody's saying, oh, yeah. No. We love you, Carol. But Carol, you are to be feared.
Amen.
What's going on here? What's this word mean? Why is Carol so scary? Why does the Bible say Carol Keyes is scary? We need to look into this. I tell you why. Because this word means to reverence. You are fearful, there's a fear about you because you are so awesome. That's what this word is contained. The fear is because of the awesomeness. Now, we tend to think about God and the fear of God, but you are made in the image of God. And what God is saying, God is saying through David is, I am awesome. I am so awesome. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Because I'm awesome. Hallelujah. Just turn to the person next to you and say in a funny accent, because I'm awesome. But the thing is, you are. Oh. Why? How can we ever carry around a sense of failure when God says, you are to be, you scary. You are one scary dude, Keith. Hallelujah. Whoever's sitting in here and knows the Lord, you're scary.
Hallelujah.
You are scary because of what God's put in you. You've got the power of Elohim, the Creator God, in you. In you.
That's right.
You know? That's a modern thing person might say, oh my God. But it's appropriate. You know, oh my God. It's Joanne. It's good. Oh my God, it's John. He's awesome.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes we forget that when we're dealing with people. You know, someone's upset us, someone's annoying. Roy, you're awesome. You are wonderful, is the next word it goes on to say. This is what God pronounces over one of us. We better start speaking it over one another.
Right.
You know, Chris, you're awesome. Amen. You're a real scary dude. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the word wonderful, it means to set apart. All right, to be distinct. I could hear someone muttering it. They must have got their Strong's Concordance going. Hallelujah. Unless they've memorized the Hebrew. Which they might have done, you lot around here. It means surpassing, extraordinary, fulfilled, set apart for special purpose, marvelous. It speaks of miracles. It speaks of the power of God. It speaks of God's wonderful deeds, God's wonderful works, God's wonderful things, all contained in a little Nabil-shaped pot. No, you can't. It's got to explode out of you over everybody. You know, that's the whole point. It's awesome.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing. You just look at a passage in the Bible and read it again and again. Sometimes you just get there. Whoa, come on.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's good. Our reverence is for God.
Yes.
All right. But God is in us.
Yes.
And we need to remember that God is in his creation.
Yes.
You know. This is why you get Christian initiatives that are to care for people. A lot of it's come from people having revelation that every individual is sacred. Every individual is precious, whether they know the Lord or not yet. Because everyone God knew in the womb.
Yes, exactly.
He knitted them together. That knitting word that is used there talks of embroidery or tapestry. It's like he's made some incredible embroidery that's a myriad of different threads of different colors and gold and silver. And if you could look at the embroidery or the tapestry of your life, you'd just go, wow, that's awesome.
Amen, amen.
Because
wow.
That's the reaction to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Hallelujah. I wonder if anybody out there is sort of disbelieving this. Let the Holy Spirit just zonk you around the head for a minute and think, wow, I am awesome. Yeah, it's not to give you an arrogance or a pride. We're just awesome because that's what God's done in us. It's nothing to do with us. You know, we can't sort of go, I'm awesome. Because there's not a sense of I'm more awesome than you. You know? And we come before God and, you know, it's just like, wow. God's even more wow. Hallelujah. But, yeah, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Well, it's a similar word. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, he knew you. You were no accident. Even if you weren't planned by your parents, you were no accident as far as God was concerned. He knew the moment of your conception. And he's known you ever since. And he was with you in the womb and he's with you now. And he will never, ever, 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 ever leave you. When I was woven together, that word means skillfully. As well. It doesn't just mean, oh, this, that one together, that's fine. It means you were skillfully woven. You are woven. You are an amazing piece of handicraft. And the hand involved is God's.
Amen.
Amen. And then David says, your works are wonderful. From this expression of, yeah, I am amazing, I'm awesome, I'm wonderfully made, because all your works are wonderful. He doesn't change the subject here. And then say, all your works are wonderful, this I know well. He's saying, I am fearful and awesome and wonderfully made because all your works are wonderful. So that includes me. This I know full well, David says. Oh, that Christians would have the same understanding, this same revelation. I know full well. There is a sort of a muchness, this word full well, it means great abundance. I know it exceedingly. I've really grabbed hold of this truth, richly, strongly, violently. I'm having that. I'm not having anything else come in my life. I'm taking hold of that one that I'm awesome. I'm wonderful. You know, anybody listening to this out of context is going to think, you arrogant pig. But actually, when you're thinking like this, you are declaring before God the ultimate in humility, because you're saying, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And the way I feel about myself when I look in the mirror is wrong.
Hallelujah.
The way I hate myself for the things I do sometimes is wrong.
Yeah.
I can hate the sin, but not me.
Amen.
You can't hate you and I can't hate you.
Glory.
Hallelujah, because you're fearfully made. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're just incredible. Hallelujah. Whew. Take a hold of it violently. I know. This is the word know when people talk about the biblical know. Know intimately. You know, I know this so well it's become part of me. You know? I know. I know. But the thing is, it does give you a confidence.
It does.
How could it do anything less?
Right.
And you suddenly think, sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Of course you can do that. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're God's kid. You're God's child. He's your dad. You know? I know he's our father and we reverence him in fear, but he's your dad as well. He likes to bounce you around on his knee like a small child. He's got that kind of intense, passionate love for you. And every time he sees you, he's like, God, you're gorgeous. You know, a friend of mine, Brian, his name is, Brian and Charlotte, they had a baby son not long ago, and they're both besotted with him. You know, Cameron, his name is. But he is, he's a gorgeous baby, and actually he's a very good-looking baby. But, you know, I don't think he's as good-looking as his dad does. You know, his dad just thinks he's the best baby ever. You know, there has never been a baby like this in the world ever before. Hallelujah. You're going to get embarrassed if you're listening to this podcast, Brian, now. Yeah, I know you listen to some. Hallelujah. But he just looks at it and there's such love in his eyes for that child because it's his. And that's how God holds you and looks in your eyes and just says, oh, this is the best one ever.
Amen.
You know, this is the best one ever. He's not comparing. So you're the best ever. You are the best because he's made you the best. Oh, what a message, eh? Why would anybody want anything else? You know, this is so good. This is the good news, after all. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Where am I? I'm still in Psalm 139. Are you enjoying Psalm 139? It's pretty cool. Let's have a look. When I was woven together in the depths of your eyes saw my unformed body. That word saw, I mean, what's saw mean in English? Look up the Hebrew word, which is ra, and it says considered, beheld, examined, enjoyed, experienced, inspected, and gave attention to. That's a little richer, I feel. You know, that's how that Hebrew word is used in other contexts. That's the way it can be used. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes considered me, beheld me, examined me, enjoyed me, experienced me, inspected me, and gave attention to me, my unformed body. Even before you could be considered a body, you know, just a few cells multiplying, God was going, yes, this is one of my special ones. Because God's already been through your whole life, and he loves it. He thinks, wow, that was a good one there. I made a good one. All your days ordained for me, formed for me, fashioned for me. It talks of like fashioning an earthenware pot. You know the potter? And how it talks elsewhere, is it in Jeremiah? It's the same word used here with ordained. It means formed. All the days you formed for me. You're like this absolutely awesome, special pot that somebody's made. You know how you can get these sort of pots that cost absolute thousands, even millions, that go up for auction and stuff like that. You're one of those, except you're better than one of those. You're beyond comparison to one of those, because at the end of the day, they're just a pot, and you're not. You're a heavenly pot. All right, you've been crafted by the Potter. All right, not Harry Potter, the Potter. Hallelujah. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And that, even that bit there, in your book. What book? What book? Now, David's Bible was the books of Moses at this time. All right, so I don't think he's referring to that, because as far as I've checked it through, he doesn't occur in Deuteronomy or any of the others. So he's talking about the heavenly scrolls that David talks of in other places. If he was a modern person, he would have said, you're written in your heavenly database. I like the idea of a book a lot more, mind you. A big scroll. It's a record. It's a document. I don't know what it actually is, but that's what it is. And you're written in it. But more than that, it says here, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. So when you were being woven together and the beautiful coloured threads were being put together, and the gold thread was being put through, and the platinum thread was being put through here, and the silver bit was coming through here, and a gorgeous red ribbony bit went down through here, you know, to, it was just like anybody saying, like, oh, you know, and when that was all happening, your life was being written out in a heavenly document. This is it. This is the best for my child. Oh, they're going to love this, so let's have that happen. Oh, look, they're going to be doing this. That's going to be awesome. Let's put that in there and that in there, and they can meet that person. Oh, and they can get involved with that person. You know I'm putting it a bit in human terms, but God was doing that in tiny zillionths of seconds, you know, because that's who he is, like a computer can, but beyond that, he doesn't crash and he doesn't run on Windows. But Doesn't mean that when it says I'll open up a window in heaven for you. It's not talking about Microsoft. In fact, if anything, he's going to use Apple anyway. Although, of course, it has got an apple with a bite taken out of it, so it could be considered very dodgy. I know some Christians that won't use them because of that. Hallelujah. I think I'm getting a little distracted. Take captive every thought. This record in heaven is God's divine record of eternity. It's a book about you, and it's a totally brilliant book. It's not a Kindle, Chris. You can't get it on your Kindle either, but it is in heaven, and this is the revelation that we need. We need the revelation of what God has written about us. Yeah? And we get, how do we get that revelation? Well, we do actually get it from this. It's like the passage we've just read is written in the scroll in heaven for eternity about you. God didn't put this in here just to have a little bit about David. It would be a waste of time. It's a revelation for everyone that knows him. It's a revelation for everybody that doesn't know him. But they've got to come to that point of understanding, of knowledge. But without revelation, the people perish. You see, if we don't fully take hold of what God is saying us about us here, we can do that wandering around in circles business. So if you've got this revelation of your destiny and your purpose, you're going to be like Paul. You know where he talks of in Philippians, I push forward to take hold of the prize. Let's have a quick look before we finish. Let's nip over. No, we won't go over there yet. Hold that thought. Put a finger in. Just have a quick look, a bit more of Psalm 139, because this hit me this morning when I was looking in the different translations. It says here, how precious to me are your thoughts, our God. Did you know a way of reading that? Quite legitimately, and it is that way in some Bibles, how precious are your thoughts about me? How vast is the sum of the thoughts God has about you? Were I to count the precious thoughts that God has about me, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Wow, this is awesome. It actually makes sense, you know, because I don't know if we can all talk about how vast is the sum of thoughts I have about God. There's a limit. There is a capacity to the human mind. And you suddenly realize, if you see it like that, it's following straight on. Oh, I'm precious. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made because all your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I've been woven together in the secret place. I'm rich. I'm abundant. I'm strong. All the days ordained for me were written in this scroll in heaven. Oh, God, how precious are your thoughts about me? How vast are the sum of thoughts you have about me, oh, God? Were I to count the thoughts, they would outnumber the grains of sand, these precious thoughts you have about me. Woohoo! That's how precious you are. God never stops thinking about you. He just thinks, oh, you're awesome, awesome, awesome. But he's got a lot more words. He can just go on forever about how precious you are to him. Then he can go on forever, because he's got forever, about how awesome you are to him. Then he goes on forever about how much he loves you. Then he goes on forever about how stunning you are. And how beautiful you are. And how just, oh my God. I don't know if God would say that. Some people get a bit upset when they hear people saying, oh my God. Well, I can understand where they're coming from, but you know, it's an opportunity. Yeah, you're right. That is amazing. It's good to give thanks to God. Oh my God. Praise God. Not saying that Christians should go around saying it carelessly, mind you. Hallelujah. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? Now, if you get this revelation, you see, you get the attitude of Paul. I'm not going to dwell on it long because I preached on it not long ago. But if you go to Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Paul's talking about the revelation that he's got in Christ. So we're not going to cover that again now, which is what he's talking about when he says, not that I've obtained all this. Or already been made perfect. But he says, but I press on. Come on. I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. And he took hold of you in the womb.
That's right.
He's been with you your whole life. He brought you to a point where, yes, you could say yes to Jesus, but he's been with you your whole life. I don't know if there's anybody here today who's never said yes to Jesus. You've never considered it before in this way, that you want to surrender to him to have this adventure. You've never really grasped, wow, I'm awesome. I want all that. I want to live in that. You know, whether you're a Christian or not doesn't change that truth, but as a Christian, you can live in the good of it. All right? Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Oh, come on, church. The church does this, it's going to make so much difference. Forget about the offense you took. Forget about the hurt that you've received. Forget about how so-and-so said such and such. Forget about what they wrote about you. Forget about what the people at work said. Forget about what they used to call you at school. Forget about the negative comments that your mother or your father spoke over you. Forget about the way they used to be bullied. You used to be bullied at school. Put it behind you and strain towards what is ahead. Because what is ahead is that you're awesome. It's learning to, it's not that you're not where you are awesome, it's that you're taking hold. It's like you're moving into what God has for you. I press on towards the goal. Aha, there's a goal here. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know when we get to heaven? I don't want to read the scroll and found out I missed some of it. Or a load of it. Because you can. All right? God has an ordained purpose for you. But you can do your own thing.
That's right.
Christian or non-Christian, you can go and do your own thing. And I don't want to get there and think I missed. I don't suppose there's regret in heaven, but I still want to get there, and I want God to be there with the prize for running the race. Got to the end.
Yes.
I didn't get cut off in my prime. I didn't die at the wrong moment. I didn't give up in the tasks because they were hard. I didn't hold back because I'd been hurt. But I pressed on. I pressed on for the prize. Because I realized that God had made me good. God had made me awesome. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How can I not do anything but press ahead? You know, I want to get to heaven and God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's what it talks about in the Word. Sometimes I think it's going to be a bit more like the prodigal son, you know. When the one that come home to the father and the father was waiting for him and ran down the road and threw his arms around him. I reckon when we die, this is just a thought of mine. You know, if God thinks this about us, you know, how could he not really? You know, when we die and we go to heaven, we've got this to look forward to. You know, we'll sort of turn up there in heaven. Where am I? Oh, it's happened. You know, there's going to be God there at some point. God the Father, Jesus, I don't know quite who it will be. All of them, maybe. We're going to get smothered. You know, and he's going to see us and he's going to belt down the corridors of heaven and throw his arms around us and say, welcome home! You made it! Yeah. Brilliant! Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I've been waiting for you to die.
Yeah.
The best is yet to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you've been waiting. I've been waiting 86 years for you. Oh, you're here. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on, my child. We're going to have a party now. Come into the house. We're going to celebrate. Hallelujah. You've died. Do you think sometimes we get the wrong idea about death? It's going home. It's going home. That's why Paul could genuinely write, for me to live is gain. I can't remember how he put it, but he basically said, well, if I live, that's good, but if I die, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's how the early church could grow, because people realised we're not just here for this life. We can have a fabulous life while we're here, but what we got coming? What we've got coming? Hallelujah. If we really got the revelation, you know, if we were real, we'd say, don't pray for me. I'm going home. Don't pray! Stop it! I'm going home to Dad. Hallelujah. We need a God view, not a world view.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Can you just picture that Heavenly Father belting down the corridor. You're home. Welcome back. Psalm 29, we started at verse 18. In the Message edition, it says this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Ooh, come on, I need to read that one again. See what God is doing is vision. But here we go. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed.
Amen.
If you want to see your life transformed in him, you've got to be into his word. And what God gives us on a Sunday, you know, you've got to take it and make a part of your life. Otherwise, it just becomes another message. It just becomes another entertaining moment. Hopefully, it's entertaining as well as everything else. But, you know, it just becomes another entertaining moment in our lives. Take it home. It's why it's good to see people taking notes, because that way you can look it up, look some of the scriptures up again, because you need your own revelation.
Yeah.
This is kind of like second-hand revelation. It's regurgitated food. Doesn't sound so good that way, though, does it? But it is in a way, and you need your own manna. You need to collect your own. This is good. We need to come together because it's a way God does choose to speak to us through whoever's preaching or speaking that morning. And he speaks to us in the worship and through whatever is happening. But you also need to have breakfast yourself. You know, we did coffee with Jesus and tea with the Lord or whatever it was a little while ago, didn't we? But it's so essential for what God is doing in our lives now. You know, it's not about I should have a quiet time. It's about I'm so awesome, I just got to spend some time with God. I can't believe what he's done for me. I can't believe how brilliant I am. He must be so much more brilliant than me to have made me this way. It's quite hard to talk like that, but actually that's how we're supposed to talk. I'm not suggesting you go down Westboro and start, you know, hello, my name's Paul. Well, you wouldn't say that, unless you are Paul, but you know what I mean. And say, hello, I'm Paul. Did you know I'm awesome? I'm actually really quite wonderful. I'm kind of a big thing. I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. Some of you know I'm quoting. Anyway. Paul, is this a bad film? Yeah. Paul has one goal, to win the prize for which God has called him upwards in heaven. We don't want to end up working around in circles, like Bill Johnson said, not having a certain destiny. Let's press on. Let's press on. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Right, we're going to finish. If the worship team could...
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.